Hey there, if you are ready to build your service-based business from scratch and ditch your 9-to-5, then I want you to head on over to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap and download my free Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit. Again, you can head to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap to download my Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit to get started on building your service-based business and ditching your 9-to-5. Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Bolin, your host, and it is time to do it your way. Oh, I'm so excited to dive into today's podcast interview with the lovely guest, Jill Minton, who is the founder of Tea Loft. And they have, you guys have a bunch of locations in Tea, or not in Tea Loft, but in Kansas City. And so when we got connected, I was like, no way. I love going to Tea Loft when the chances I'm in Kansas City. So Jill, actually, I'll have you do your formal introduction. And then let's talk about your journey and evolution of entrepreneurship and dive into how and what inspired you to launch Tea Loft.
Oh, well, thank you, Amanda. I totally appreciate your support. It means a lot. So, and thank you for inviting me to join you today. I'm so excited to share the story and talk about life of Tea Loft. It's been a whirlwind. But I mean, you know, my story really started, I mean, gosh, it's been so long, but the Tea Loft story really started back in probably 2010. I was just, you know, I was working in corporate America. I was an IT consultant, worked for KPMG and Ernst & Young. My degrees, I went to Kansas State. My degrees were in accounting and MIS and went the traditional route and went to IT consulting. And I traveled all the time, worked all the time, loved my job. And then I had kids. And so the whirlwind life of, you know, two kids and traveling and working, and I just felt really, really tired. And I kept chalking it up to, you know what, hey, this is life as a mom and a working mom, and suck it up. You know, it's fine. It's fine. I kept blowing it off, but it started to just, my health just kept to degrade. And I was like, this isn't right. You know, I'm in my 20s. I take care of myself. I work out. I eat right. Like, I shouldn't be this depleted. There is something wrong. I gotten to the point where, I mean, I remember a day we took the kids to the zoo and we were going from exhibit to exhibit, and in between, I would just like lay my head on Brandon's shoulder and like just so I could sleep for like a few seconds. And then I'd gotten to the point where, you know, church was like 5 minutes away, and I would fall asleep in the car. And, you know, he'd make fun of me and like, God, what is wrong? And I'm like, I don't know. I couldn't sit down. If I didn't sit down, I was fine. But if I sat down, it was all over.
You're like, I'm sleeping.
So, yes. I was like, I felt like I was narcoleptic, and I couldn't, I mean, and then, you know, my parents lived about 40 minutes away, and I had gotten to the point where I was like, I can't drive with the kids in the car. I need somebody with me because I was afraid I'd fall asleep. And so, obviously it was like, this is not normal. And so, kind of around the same time, my dad, my sister, my daughter, we all kind of had health symptoms starting to manifest, which was really odd. And so we started to talk about it, and my sister was getting mouth sores and stomach cramps, and she's like, this is so weird. And my daughter, who was 5 at the time, would cry at night with headaches and stomach aches. And I'm like, she's not a kid that complains, you know, there's something going on. And so, yeah, it was crazy. And so my sister's doctor was like, has your family ever been tested for celiac disease? And, we're like, no, we don't even know what that is. And, so it turns out we got tested. We all, tested positive. Well, my dad, sister, daughter, myself, all tested positive.
Oh my gosh. Tested.
Yeah. And so, and what
now,
it is.
Is that something that can like manifest just in, yes, like, can you carry it? And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, it's there.
Right. You can carry it. It can never manifest into the autoimmune disorder. And you may carry the gene forever. You have to carry the gene, and you may carry it forever, and it may never be triggered. We kind of all nailed ours back to like, so my sister had kind of a traumatic pregnancy. I had a case of mono in college. We think my daughter getting all three immunizations at once at kindergarten kind of sent her over the edge. Who knows what did to my dad, because he had problems forever. And so we kind of nailed it back to that. So kind of if something that's really taxing on your immune system or something really stressful happens, it can trigger. They're still figuring out a lot of that and how it does manifest. But, and you know, we were, I mean, my dad was a wheat farmer until I was in first grade. And so, you know, we were around it. We, you know, so who knows? But, you know, once we found that out, it was like finally we had answers. And so through that whole healing process, we changed the way we were eating. We changed the way, you know, just changed everything and did a lot of research and education. And juicing became a huge piece of our life because in the beginning we were so inflamed and had no enzymes left in our guts, I think. And so juicing was really the only way to get nutrients that our body could easily digest and absorb nutrients. And so once we went through that whole process, I just became really passionate about juicing and eating right and healing and what it did for us and how incredible we felt afterwards. And so, you know, started dreaming and just like, I want to do something. I want to do something with this and wanted a place that was, you know, fast and convenient, that truly offered nutritious and healthy food, but felt like a great place that, you know, felt like your friend's house, you could go hang out at your friend's house. And so, was still, you know, in corporate America and decided, well, before we completely jump off the cliff, I want to test the concept. And so we were the crazy couple that took the concept to the farmer's market. So we spent the weekends, we always call it summer from hell because we, we sat up at the farmer's market all, we were still, you know, still working. So I'd get back into town on like Friday. We'd stay up all night on Friday night, getting ready, be at the market by like 5 in the morning and sit out at the market until, you know, 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And then it'd take us a couple hours to tear down and clean up and whatever. But, you know, we had that summer to really talk to people that were interested in what we were doing. And this was in 2012.
What a great way to validate.
It was a difficult one, but yes, it was a great way because you got to talk to people and hear their reaction and hear their, you know, their stories and we garnered a following, you know, people started to be really interested in what we were doing. And so, it was a definitely crazy summer, but we, once we got, you know, and at the beginning of the summer, I said, this was back again in 2012, I'm like, if we have 1,000 followers on Facebook, we might stand a chance. I don't know why that was my benchmark, but for some reason in my head, if we could have 1,000 followers, we had like, we might stand a chance. And so by the end of the summer we did. And so we started looking at spaces and, you know, it was a really interesting process. I mean, a lot of the developers didn't really want anything to do with us because they were kind of like, another great idea. Sure. Yeah. It sounds great, but I don't think it's the right fit for our development, you know? And I don't blame them. I'm sure there's been lots of great ideas that haven't been able to pay the rent. So, sure. You know, we faced a lot of that and we ended up finding a space that was in a strip center that was half empty and the building next to it needed torn down and the mall down the street was totally sketchy. And so we were like, well, we're going to make it work, you know, we'll figure it out. And so we took the space and we, you know, gutted it ourselves. My husband built out everything because we were, you know, again, we were on such a tight budget. We had, you know, we had made the decision to downsize our life so we could do this. And so we had sold our big house in the suburbs and moved into a tiny little house in the city and sold our cars and got, you know, we were a single car family for a while. And then we, you know, just got cheaper cars and just downsized our life completely from being, you know, IT consultant and a construction manager to being, you know, I mean, and Brandon kept his job for a while. Anyway, so then we gutted the space and built it out. And God, at the time, Brandon was driving 45 minutes to work every day. So he'd go in early, he'd work all day, get home at like 5 or 6 and head up to the store and work there till like 2 or 3 in the morning to get it all built out. And he built it out in 60 days. And
wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was, and did it for 50% under budget.
Wow.
Good. We had an SBA loan. And so we finally opened in April of 2013, opened the first location off of State Line here in Kansas City. And it has been a whirlwind of stories ever since. We just opened our 5th store last week. So it's been a wild and crazy ride, but the community has just been really incredible to us and really supported what we were doing and have just followed our journey. And so we've been really blessed in that way. And you know, it's just been really cool. We've gotten to do some really cool things. This last year, we fed all the Royals, every home game, we fed them at least one night, and the visiting team, the Kansas City Royals.
So that was, gosh.
Yeah. And we got to feed some of the players during the World Series. And it was just really, it's just been a really cool ride. So
yeah,
it started out a little rough, but it's been good.
That's amazing. Okay. I do want to go back to some of the things and changes and lifestyle changes that you and your husband made. Cause you yeah. said it very nonchalant. You're like, well, we downsized the house, we're changing our cars. Like I have a hard time thinking it was like, just like one quick done, like take
oh,
us
God,
back
no.
to that moment
yeah.
and those decisions when you and your husband were like, okay, I'm not bringing in this salary of an IT consultant. And yeah. we are then going full steam ahead and doing this, what does that look like? And the decision to sell your house, and
yeah.
I'm sure societal norms could have easily been like, what the hell? You guys are crazy.
Yeah.
You have this great life, quote unquote, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like take us back to that. And what were some of the things that were going through your mind, and give us some examples of what you were up against so that
yeah.
women and who have men too who are listening can then relate when they find themselves in that situation to say, oh, okay, that's totally normal, but she went
yeah.
past that, so I can too.
Right. Oh, man. There were a lot of tears, you know, a lot of sleepless nights. I mean, Brandon and I had many conversations, and, you know, I can't say how many times I called my sister crying. Am I doing the right thing? Is this completely, am I losing my mind? Am I having a midlife crisis? Like, is it post-pregnancy hormones? What the hell am I doing? And then, you know, I'd think through it and be like, no, this is real. This is real. This is really what I want to do. You only live once. And I remember thinking, like, I'd gotten to the point where I was just like, I told Brandon, and I've told the story before, is I would rather live in a box than not try. Like, we're here once. Why, you know, you have this, like, you just drive. And I'm like, why would we not do it? Why would you not at least try? I mean, you're never going to get another, you're never going to get another chance here on earth. Why not try, you know? And I, and he was so crazy supportive. I mean, if I wouldn't have had him as a husband, I mean, there, you know, cause he was just like, I mean, if that's how you really feel, then I say we do it, you know? And, I mean, and that was over months of crying and thinking and analyzing and building spreadsheets and writing business plans and, you know, doing every pros cons list you can think of and waking up in the middle of the night in a sweat going, what am I doing? What am I doing? This is my family. Like, am I doing the right thing for our family? We could end up with nothing. Like, you know, we had so many of those conversations, and it was just like, at the end of the day, you know what? We have our health. We have each other. We have our kids. That's all that really matters. The rest of this is gravy. The rest of this is gravy. And you know what? In reality is, you know, we have great families, and if we had ever, and you know, all the shame that would have come if we ever had to call on our families, you know, but we, at the end of the day, and if we had to move in with a family, like that could have happened, but we, I mean, again, the pride side of that,
yeah.
like, you did not want that to happen, especially with two kids, you know? And I kept thinking too, was like, I remember in my like workouts in the morning thinking, you know what, what would I tell my kids to do? What would I, if they were in this situation, what would I want my kids to do? And how can I ever teach them if I'm not willing to do it myself? You know, I can't want for them if I'm not willing to even show them that I'm willing to take a chance and I'm willing to take a risk and believe in myself, and who cares what everybody thinks of you. And yes, I'm sure people said things behind our back, and you know, you saw it in people's faces but I think you just keep so busy and you're so in it that you just kind of, okay, whatever, and move on, you know, like, someday they'll see, you know?
Yeah, but I just, it's so incredible.
And I just think too, like, if you want to, I mean, you know, if you want to do what most people aren't doing, you know, if you want to do something that most people don't do, your life is going to look different. You're going to look weird. You're not doing what society is doing. You're not, you know, most people don't get this opportunity or don't take it. And it's your life is going to look different, and you just kind of have to come to terms with being different. You know, as crazy as it is and as hard as it is, and You could look like a fool in the end, but at least you tried, you know?
Right. Like, it goes back to the quote about the man in the arena and being that person that, you know, there's going to be people that will be so quick to comment and judge and who are at the sidelines saying all these things that you could have done differently or how terrible it turned out. When in reality, I mean, they're not the one in the arena. They're not the one that is going after what they want and making it work and giving it effort. So,
Exactly. It's always like consider the source, you know?
yeah. So I'm a couple, like, oh my gosh, I have so many questions. But one of them is when you started Tea Loft in the beginning, how did you craft your menu? How did you then deal with this product, like food that is perishable and can potentially, I mean, it has a finite amount of living or capability to earn money, right? Otherwise it goes bad. So what was that like in understanding and learning how to deal with a perishable product?
Oh gosh, you know, I didn't come from a food service background. I mean, my food service experience consisted of me working at Pizza Hut in high school and being a waitress even, you know. So I didn't come from a food service background, but I figured, well, we'll figure it out. And you know, just like any business, you start out, you usually start out with a crazy flourishing business. I mean, it takes a while. We got to grow into it. We got to try things. We got to learn. We screwed a lot of things up. You know, in the beginning, we were doing it crazy. We were going out and we didn't have a distributor. We were going out and buying the stuff at a local, like a local grocery store for restaurants. And so we were able to kind of learn our demand through that. And then, it's still an evolving process. It's always an evolving process. And, you know, we paid attention. We paid attention to what we were going through, and we kind of had a backup plan. Like if we ran out, we could always, and when we get close to running out, we could go run and grab what we needed at this, you know, food service grocery store. And then you just kind of learn, you know. I think you just keep paying attention. And I'm a process person. I love process. I love checklists. I love manuals. And so it was really important for us, especially to scale, to have a lot of that stuff in place and to build it as we went. And I mean, I'm always entertaining what we can do better and how. And so we had to learn, but we way underbought. I mean, we were on the opposite side of things spoiling. We way underbought. We were not prepared for how much product we were going to need. And so we were kind of able to stay ahead of it by being like, oh my gosh, I'm going to run out. Can you run and get this? Can you run and get that? You know, and so we've learned now. But yeah, it was different. I mean, it was, you know, there's so many moving parts to a food service business because you're moving so much people and product and everything else around. So it took a lot of, I mean, we still have a lot to learn, but we had a lot to learn, you know.
Now, did you guys, oh man, my question just fled, but it was about like, oh, okay. Do you guys do all of your production at each individual location, or do you guys now have a place where you do it?
No, we do it at each individual location. And most of our stuff is made to order. So, you know, we make the juice right when you order it. We wanted to keep everything as fresh as possible. We put together the bowls right when you order them. We make almost all, there is some specialty balls that we'll do for like the holidays and stuff, and we outsource that. We have, you know, we do those offsite, but the other, our regular menu of products that we do carry in our bakery case, those we all do on site. So we wanted to kind of try to keep everything as fresh as we possibly could. Just taste better, which makes it more complicated, but
Yeah, well, I'm
we
a
provide a
massive
better product.
fan. I was so when Kat took me there, she's like, "Well, these are the places that we could go." I'm like, "I want to go to Tea Loft." And it was just such a great ambiance and everything, like even from the design and the branding that you guys have brought together and everything. What was it like the first 6 months that you guys opened?
Gosh, it was nuts. It was nuts because we, like I said, we hadn't bought enough product, so we were running back and forth. And I mean, you know, Brandon was still at his job. I left my job 2 weeks before we opened, and so I had to figure out how to get the kids to school, and so I would take them up to the store with me, and then a friend would take them, and then when I had Or I would have somebody up at the store working with me, and so I'd leave to run them to school. So they were coming to the store with me at, you know, 5:30 in the morning
Oh
to
my
get the store
gosh.
open. And I kept thinking, you know what? There's dairy farm kids somewhere in this
yes.
country getting up, milking the cows. My kids can get in the car and ride to the store with me. You know?
Do they ever want to go to work with you?
Off.
Are they ever like voluntarily like, Mom, I want to work?
Yeah, I mean they loved it in the beginning. You know, now they're older. They're 10 and 12 now. Then they were, you know, let's see, what were they? 7 and 5 and 7, something. I don't remember. But anyway, they loved it. They wanted to help. I think they saw the excitement and how hard we've worked to get it open. You know, they were a part of all of that. They were up there when we were building out the space, and they were watching movies in the car. I mean, we were totally so crazy.
I love hearing that. You know,
they loved being a part of it in the beginning. So
how do you guys
now they have their own life?
They're like, okay, we're too cool now. No.
Yeah, they're over it.
How do you know when it's time to expand to another location? What usually are the like triggers, or is it gut feeling, or how do you guys assess that?
Yeah, you know, I think we've just kind of gone on gut. I mean, you know, obviously you want your business metrics to be there, but those can change at any given time. So, I mean, you can follow them and plan and, you know, but I think at the end of the day, it is a little bit about gut. And, you know, you listen to your customers and where they want you and when opportunities come up, and you weigh all of those factors and try to decide, is this the right time? Can the business handle it? Can, you know, are we ready? And try to make the best decision with what you got, and hope for the best. You know, I think it's a multitude of factors. You know, unfortunately, it's not black and white.
Has like franchise ever crossed your mind as like a scaling model, or is it something that you guys want to keep very much just private, I guess I would say, maybe?
Yeah, well, you know, we've talked about it and thought about it. You know, it's a whole nother business, really. We have franchisees, and we'd want to be ready for it and set up for it, and you know, so that we could do, if we brought anybody else, you know, we might make sure we could do them justice. And so we've thought about it. I mean, I don't think it's anywhere in our near term future. Not to say we never will, but you know, I think we really want to focus on what we're doing now and focus on our core business and making sure it's really great. And we don't really want to detract from that just yet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Being able to make sure it's there. I had, so one of the followers on Instagram had asked a question, and this is so great. It's such a wonderful question, but she wants to know, most people go through periods of zero motivation. How do you fight this when it comes to your business? And what do you do when you feel like you're losing your passion?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Oh man. I think you have those days when you feel just really defeated. That's more what I've dealt with is you know, I'm really excited about what we do, and I'm really excited about our brand, but I can have those days and I feel like I have seriously given it everything I got, and I'm worn out and I'm tired and I got to pick myself back up and keep going, you know? And I think in those moments, I just have to like pause and reflect why you started, reflect where you came from, reflect everything you've done to get here, give yourself credit. And then when I go out we go out and do community events and get to talk to people, you know, if we're giving away protein balls at a race or we're at some other event, I mean, that just fuels me, you know, cause people are so gracious and have so many kind things to say. And it just picks you back up to say, okay, you know, I got this. There's a reason I'm here, you know, and gets me excited again and gets me. And I mean, you pay attention to those things that inspire you. You know, I get inspired when I go to another city and go through other concepts. I get inspired by looking at beautiful design online. I mean, or looking at new recipes. I mean, all of those things inspire me. And, I think when I go back to that place, I get re-inspired and reinvigorated, and just remembering that I got to take time to like refuel, because if you're always giving, 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 you do just end up depleted and spent, and you can't be creative and innovative if you're completely spent. So it's knowing what inspires you.
Mm-hmm. What, you mentioned concept, what was, like, a concept that maybe you started in the beginning that you had with Tealof that you had, and then over the years you've moved away from that concept because you realized it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the beginning we were like a healthy coffee shop without coffee. So we didn't have coffee. We didn't make all the meals. We would make some cupped salads and little snack boxes, and it was, you know, it was good, but I just felt like part of the deal was fresh food, fresh, healthy food that tasted good. And I felt like we were missing the boat. I just felt like it was a huge piece of what we needed to provide. And we were providing juices and protein shakes and smoothies and these grab-and-go salads and snack cups. But I was like, you know, you just can't beat fresh food. It's all part of the package. And so then that was a huge undertaking for us to figure out how to do our food quickly and not compromise quality and staff for it and build in the process behind it. And so it was a huge undertaking for us, but completely changed what we were doing.
What's been most surprising for you as an entrepreneur in the past year since you launched Tealof? Or like, how
Oh,
have you grown the most?
man. That's a good question. How have I grown the most? I've never been a very patient person. And I think it has tested my patience, you know, to be patient with yourself, to be patient with your progress, to be patient with, you know, now when we roll something out, it's getting 70 plus employees to know what's new and what's different and how to do it and how to execute it. And, you know, that's different. It's a different beast than when you have one store and you're behind the counter and you're working with your team and showing them how to do things and, you know, they're showing you how to do things. It's just a different animal. And so, you know, I think just all those character building moments of just being patient with yourself and being patient with those you work with and appreciation for all the people that give you time and their effort and their daily lives for your dream, you know, and just remembering that.
You're all good.
Okay. Sorry about
It
that.
happens.
So, you know, I mean, I guess that's probably been my biggest lesson. I'm still learning what my lessons are. I think I get a new one every week.
It's like every day.
Right.
I'm like,
The
oh
roller
gosh.
coaster of the day.
I'm like, okay, I think I've reached my capacity for this week, but good
Yeah, we
lesson.
lay off on the lessons a little.
Yeah, do I get a day off? That's so what's been like something that's been unexpected that you weren't planning or you didn't see it coming as part of being a business owner?
Gosh, probably everything. You know, in the beginning, like I think all little nuances that you can't even dream up. I mean, so we want to roll this out. How are we going to configure our point of sale to be able to do that? You know, how are we going to, or, you know, what do you do when team doesn't show up? Like somebody doesn't show up. And we didn't have a lot of that in the beginning, but as we've grown, it's happened here and there. And it's like, okay, what do you know, how's that going to work? What are we going to do when that happens? You know, there's all the equipment involved. So equipment goes down, you know, in the middle of lunch. Credit card processing goes down in the middle of lunch. What are you going to do? You know, and a juicer goes down in the middle of rush. You know, what are you going to do? It's all that stuff you don't really think about or expect. But it happens. A fridge goes down, you know, and the health department comes. It's like, what are you going to do? So I think there's just always these unexpected little, all the moving parts that you just can't predict or you don't think of.
Yeah, expect the unexpected.
Yeah, kind of be prepared for anything at any given moment.
Yeah.
The alarm goes off in the middle of the night, you know?
Like,
What's
oh,
that? What's going on? Yeah, why? Why? We'll run down to the store, make sure nothing's, you know?
how have you been able to like create consistency or maybe a little bit more of a routine in your life now that it's been about 4 or 5 years since you launched?
Yeah. You know, people, just building a team and having a team that we can lean on and rely on and you know, we had a really key team member that had worked with us from the beginning. And, you know, she got married and moved away this summer. And it's been it's been hard. And, you know, you kind of learn to morph in it. And it's good for your business because you kind of got to make sure you have the process in place to handle things like that. And what are you going to do? But I mean, it's all about building a team and putting the right infrastructure in place so that you can have a life, because you can't go on forever not having a life. You know, if you want to be happy. And in the beginning, you make a lot of choices because it's what you got to do. It's like being a new mom. You know, it's not about you. It's about the business. It's about building it and making sure it's going to sustain and be able to stand on its own. And then as your baby gets older, you kind of rely on sitters or care or a family member or whatever. You know, you kind of got to build that infrastructure in place so that everybody knows what their expectations are and their roles and responsibilities are. And it's just the key part to, you know, maintaining your sanity.
Yeah. A couple last questions too before we land the plane I have is, how do you guys plan for your business in 2018, or how do you plan for the year ahead, and what are some things that you consider? How do you know what metrics to use? Do you use your gut, or is it more mathematically driven by numbers? What does that look like?
Yeah. I love spreadsheets. I mean, I came from an accounting background and I love spreadsheets and I love analyzing what coulda, what can be, what we need to do, and really trying to lay out a plan. You know, I feel like I constantly fight for time to be able to sit and do that. And, you know, it's hard to find time to have downtime to really sit and focus and think and dream and create on those things. And so the middle of the night is like the best time for me to sit, and the world's quiet and I can get on my laptop and really start to think about what it can look like. And, you know, you can run all kinds of models in spreadsheets. You can make all kinds of great things happen in spreadsheets.
That's right.
But then, you know, laying down, what does that really mean? And I like to build it out into projects. I'm like, okay, if this is what we want to accomplish, then what's it going to take? You know, if we want stores to grow by this much in sales, what's it going to take? Do we need a new product? Do we need, you know, better service? Do we need, you know, what do we need? And really breaking that out into the projects that are going to make that happen. And then figure out who's going to do the projects and when we're going to do them. And so that's, you know, a huge piece of what I like to do to plan for the upcoming year. And
mm-hmm. What is, what's been one of your favorite books or resources to help inspire you or educate you about your journey and where you're at?
Oh, yes. Well, I love podcasts. I mean, I'm addicted. I love listening to them, and there's so many great ones. But you know, in the beginning, I listened to so much Stephen Covey.
Mm-hmm.
I loved his philosophies, and I was a huge Stephen Covey fan. And so I've spent, you know, a lot of time listening to his stuff. And then I love your podcast. I love Gary Vee's podcast.
Yes.
You know, there's so many, how they built this. You know, there's so many good ones out there and resources are so available now. I mean, I love Audible, has so many great, what's the latest one I listened to? What's the 5 second?
Mel Robbins.
Yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes. I love that. I thought that was great. So, you know, mm-hmm. I always hear people are always throwing good books out there, and I'll go out and get them and listen to them. And there's so many.
Yeah.
And it changes, you know, it's like, what's hot topic to you now compared to what was hot topic to me 5 years ago? You know, it's completely different.
That the Mel Robbins one, just in case if people are listening and they're not sure, is she talks about, it's just a simple concept of, let's say you're trying to get out of bed. You just do a countdown from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then that just shoots you off to, like, you give yourself a countdown, 5 seconds, and you can't, that's not enough time for your brain to talk you out of doing something. So you just do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So great. Good. I love it. All right. Last question I have is, what is the next thing that you, like, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you be outsourcing in your business next? Or, like, what are you looking to get off your plate?
Good. Probably what I need most and what I've been entertaining the most is kind of the feet in the street, more of a director of operations and somebody that can have a little bit more time than myself to really be in working with our team. And, I get pulled in so many directions and trying to, do all the other everything else. And really having someone in that role that can work with the teams and work with stores and be a little more, have more time of feet in the street, So that's probably what's next for the store, for T Loft. I've recently launched a podcast personally.
Yes.
Yes, it's been a really fun venture, and I've been listening to them for so long that I'm like, oh my God, So it's just been a
It's
really fun passion
time.
project. So, but it's called Learning to Leap, and it's all about taking that chance and launching a new business or starting a new health journey or changing careers. And I interview people and I talk about topics that support that huge decision in life. And it's been a really fulfilling, fun platform to start. So it's been a really, it's been kind of been my passion project, that my outlet, I guess I should say, lately.
I love it, and I'm so excited for 2018 for you. And this is, thank you for coming on the podcast too. You have no idea. When I was so excited, I was like, wait a second. I'm like, oh, I've been there. I'm like, yes, I want to interview her.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, if you want to help close us out, just share with my listeners where they can find out more information about you and check out
Awesome.
T Loft and find your podcast.
Yes, awesome. Well, you can, T Loft is www.tloft.net. I have my personal page, which is jillminton.me. And then probably the best and the one I'm most active on is Instagram, which is JILL_MINTON. And I love to post things that speak to me that I feel like maybe could help somebody else. So I feel like I'm everywhere.
Love it. Well, we can find you there. Jill, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Amanda.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.